And on this Monday, we are going to be discussing SAD, Seasonal Affectiveness Disorder. Joining us this morning, we have Brittany Pope. She's a licensed professional counselor. She is also a member of the Ketchikan Wellness Coalition Board. And also Tim Kistner, who is a person who has experienced this, to help us understand and to share his story. Thank you so much to both of you for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you very much.
So let's first just talk about what is SAD.
I'll take over here, and then Tim can maybe give some input on how he experiences it. Seasonal affective disorder is something that people struggle with in Alaska, especially with the dark days, you know, the really long winter, the rain. And what it is essentially a seasonal disorder that affects you in dark times, winter, really when you have that change of season. A lot of people don't experience it in the summer or the spring because you have that sunlight coming back, that renewed growth, but it can be possible. And really it mirrors depression-like symptoms. So fatigue, mood change, irritability, can be some side effects of seasonal affective disorder. So some people actually confuse it with depression, but it actually, they are two very different but similar diagnoses.
And it's something that not everyone experiences, however.
Right. Just because you live in Alaska doesn't mean you have seasonal affective disorder. That's something I think a lot that I tell clients when they say, I think I have seasonal affective disorder. It's not something that because you live in Alaska, it's a side effect of living in Alaska. So not everybody experiences it.
And it is it biological, psychological, a blend of things?
It's a blend. I would say it's definitely more psychological, but it can be biological if you're not getting enough vitamin D, if you're not getting enough sleep. You know, it's looking at your routine, looking at your overall holistic self as a person and seeing and making sure your routine, your exercise, your healthy eating, all of that stuff is also a component of this, as well as the psychological piece of the weather change, the darkness, the lack of vitamin C. So it's kind of marrying of the two.
And Tim Kistner, you have experienced this, or are you still experiencing this? Is this something that you do things for, I guess, to manage?
Yeah, it's something I've struggled with periodically throughout my life since probably I was about a teenager. I'm not actually from here in Ketchikan, originally from Pennsylvania. Even there, I felt it. So it's not necessarily certain, you know, latitudes like up here in Alaska. You can experience in other places when the sun starts to get at a lower angle in the sky, the season changes and your lifestyle changes with the season. That's something I've realized, is that with the seasonal change, with the lack of light, that also brings a lifestyle change, which is something that helps me balance that significantly. So I have experienced it in Pennsylvania, where I grew up. I have experienced it in Australia, even in Australian winter, which you don't really imagine being terribly much like Alaska. But there is a difference in lifestyle, in sunlight, in weather, all of those things that really, really tie into it.
It sounds like for you, perhaps it's physical activity.
That's a big part of it for me. Yeah, absolutely. I'm a very active person, especially in the summertime here. I'm outside every single day. In the wintertime, when the season changes and we get a lot more rain and cold, I don't get out quite as much. But I have noticed even getting out with less daylight, I still do feel it. You do start to feel that grogginess. It really starts to come in when you get that first period of time it's about mid-September. You get that first kind of long week of gray, a little bit less light. I notice that I feel much more fatigued. My moods are much less balanced. And even when I'm outside, fairly active, I do still start to feel that. And that's something that I've really kind of started to get hold of this season.
Do you think it's more does the weather get to you more, or the darkness get to you more, or both? Or if it's like the combo of the two, that's the worst.
It's kind of a combination, but I do realize that the light is a significant factor. Just the shorter the days, gray light, less sunshine, obviously here being so overcast all the time. The light is definitely a significant factor. I used to think it was much more of the kind of lifestyle change of being outside less. But I have realized that just getting a week of gloomy day grays in the summer, I start to feel it. I start to feel my mood shift. It's pretty crazy how in touch you start to become with it.
What do you do to cope with it?
So this year I mean, historically, really just trying to be outside, really absorb the light that's out there when it is, eating healthier, maintaining a good routine, getting up early, having kind of an early morning purpose, whether that be just getting up and reading the paper or going for a short walk. That helps a lot. But, once the seasons really change here around the, around fall coming in, I started this year using light therapy. So light box treatment. And looking into that for 30 minutes in the morning. Not only does that give me some time in the morning to have purpose, to set some time aside to look at that, to read my paper next to the light, that does help. But it's really night and day when I start using that light as well as supplementing vitamin D. Those are the two factors that just totally, totally change me.
I was just going to say it's kind of hard to get up in the mornings because there isn't morning. You know, you have to get up in darkness.
Yeah, that's a thing. And actually something that I purchased this year is a sunrise alarm clock. So basically you set it for whenever time you want to wake up. And then a half hour before that, there's a big light on this clock that starts to kind of slowly emulate sunrise. And that helps a lot. I mean, it's a lot easier to wake up in a room that's light than in a room that's pitch dark at, 7:45 in the morning.
And I've heard of several people who use that.
Yeah.
And that they really like it. It works
yeah,
well.
Yeah. I think a good theme with a lot of this is kind of maintaining a good rhythm cycle, is having that morning light consistently at the same time, because that's really what keeps your body kind of in that routine, in that function. Waking up in a dark room that progressively gets darker as winter comes around really kind of makes your body react a different way and really kind of throws off that balance that I find.
And I want to interject something, too, in regards to the medical piece. Tim's talking about light therapy, and there's different types of SAD lights. And so it's important to look into the ones that work for you. Tim got lucky, I think, and got his online, and it worked for him really well. But working with your doctor and also making sure you get your lab work done routinely, especially if you know that you are vitamin D deficient, like you said, being on a vitamin D supplement, I think anybody, especially when we live in Alaska, can benefit from it. But the amount that you take, you need to consult with your doctor. So those are also other good factors to look at to make sure, how am I looking on the inside? That's what I tell my clients blood work does. It gives us a picture and a view of what you look like on the inside.
I imagine an important component is just even realizing that you have this.
Yeah, I can speak for that. Mm-hmm. I can absolutely speak for that. That's something that I have kind of had a hard time accepting, that I do suffer from seasonal affective disorder. I've kind of always felt that winter gloom a bit, but I often thought that that's kind of just how it has to be. and it's amazing once you kind of start changing your lifestyle. Once I really started treating myself using, light therapy and vitamin D supplementation, it's like you've come out of... It's like you're kind of sober all of a sudden. You're kind of realizing, like, wow, I was really depressed for the last couple of weeks. It's amazing when you no pun intended here, and you see the light. It's
right. Well, and I think the other piece, too, is we all try to control the outcome, and we don't necessarily focus on our journey. And so what Tim is talking about is, the journey part is the routine, the sleep hygiene, all of that stuff. We try to focus on the outcome of being in a better mood, or trying to get ourselves to a better place. But then we don't focus on the steps in between. So the why is important. Why am I feeling this way? And then identifying the changes, which is the journey to get to his outcome, which is feeling better.
And I'd like to also open up the phone lines if there is anyone out there, perhaps who has some tips. Perhaps you yourself are affected by SAD and have come up with your own routines or solutions, or perhaps if you have some questions for yourself or for someone else, you can give us a call. Those numbers are 225-9655 or toll free 1-800-557-5723. And Brittany and Tim will do their best to answer your questions with regards to that. So how do you tell the difference, I guess, between depression and SAD?
That's a really complicated question because it depends on the person. But if you, if we're going with the DSM, 5, which is the Diagnostic Statistical Manual for therapists, psychologists, psychiatrists, and doctors, you would look at how long the symptoms are persisting and how often are the symptoms persisting. So if I'm looking at diagnosing seasonal affective disorder and the person has these symptoms are all year round, well, that's a good indicator for me that this is more than seasonal affective disorder. But if I'm looking at, well, you only have this, like Tim said, from September to February, and when the light comes back and you're active, then you don't have any of these symptoms. So they're symptomatic of the season and the lack of light and the lack of routine, if your routine's changing, then I would think more so on the level. And there's diagnostic criteria for both of them. But depression really has to persist consistently for 6 months and impact more than 2 to 3 areas of your life. Whereas seasonal affective disorder is really seasonally, and you look at it, definitely can mirror depression, but it's more of a seasonal kind of diagnosis, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and as you're saying, you're going to have to individually evaluate someone. It's not, there's no general, this is how it is.
Right.
So you person by person, you'll have to figure that out.
Right.
And in yourself, I guess you have to ask yourself, you know, what is going on with me? Is this just seasonal or not? And paying a little more attention sometimes to yourself. And I know many people who do get very down during this time of year. I actually don't. I like the darkness.
Some people have non-seasonal affective disorder.
Although I do hate waking up in the morning. But
sunrise alarm clock.
Yeah,
I'm going to use
like
that one.
Idea.
I do.
So you spoke about the things that work for you, Tim. You have the alarm clock, sunrise alarm clock, getting into a more regular routine, kind of planning your sleep in a sense to make sure you get enough, taking the vitamin D. Are there other things that people do to address this?
There are tons of things. You know, it's funny, down south, and I can't think of like what Tim does with the light therapy box. You can actually go and do on a bigger scale. They have like sun therapy kind of facilities where you can go in and get your light, and it's not tanning. There's a difference.
Yeah.
But you can also, what you eat. So Ketchikan Wellness Coalition is doing the vitamin C awareness, and they have these awesome cards that you can pick up at Ketchikan Wellness Coalition up over on Front Street or throughout the community. We've distributed them, and it tells you, talks about the types of food that you eat, mushrooms, oranges, anything with vitamin D. I can't think what else is on there, but there's a ton of different foods that can give you that source of energy that you need to help get you motivated and get into the routine.
And a question that you said both, you were mentioning both vitamin C and D.
Yeah.
You mean D or C or both?
Both. Okay. Yeah, vitamin C and vitamin D. Vitamin D especially because that's what you find in sunlight, but vitamin C too also gives you energy. And there's also B12. Again, that's where taking the blood work gets you the answers of what you're low on. Working with a nutritionist can be another way. If you don't understand healthy eating and you don't understand what can fuel your body the right way, you can work with a nutritionist and exercise. A lot of what Tim is doing is what I would tell my clients to do. I mean, he is a self-starter, so he realized himself, I can't continue to be this way because it's not healthy. And I think that's the first roadblock that people don't recognize, is this isn't healthy. And so I need to make sure I'm making these changes.
And let me ask you, Tim, what dietary changes did you make? Let's say, are there certain foods that you know when you eat them, you feel more down? When you eat others, you feel better? Are there certain foods that you've equated to your mood?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't really changed that too much throughout the year. I tend to eat pretty healthy, lots of fresh fruits and vegetables, really. I definitely crave a lot more sweets and carbs in the wintertime. That's definitely something that comes with some of the first symptoms of less light. So those are some things that I try to restrict myself, although it's kind of hard because I love sweets and always will.
And it's Christmas time.
Yeah, that too. They're abundant. You know, sweets are surrounding.
Maybe that's why they're abundant. Someone figured out you're going to crave them.
Yeah. I was thinking about that because, you are physiologically craving sweets and carbs to really kind of bulk up for the winter and to kind of supplement.
We're like
that.
Bears. We got to get our winter coats on.
Yeah.
Well, and it's not a problem. I tell people 80-20. 80% of the time, eat healthy. Eat what is healthy for you. And then 20% of the time, which is like a meal or two throughout the week, indulge. It's not bad to have ice cream. It's not bad to have a cookie at Christmas. It's not bad to go into Thanksgiving and say, I'm going to have 3 servings. Like, I want to really just, like, do it up this Thanksgiving. But then you got to realize that's not a lifestyle change you can make every day, because it's not sustainable for your mood and your body to eat like that every day.
Yeah, so for me, I've kind of established, you know, like my baseline of what I kind of eat consistently in my diet, which of course is, you know, lots of fresh fruits mm-hmm. and veggies, things like eggs in the morning, really avoiding a lot of meat and fatty foods. Definitely. I mean, I still eat meat occasionally, but it's not an every meal kind of thing. So really just to kind of establishing that. And then, yeah, if I want to make something really unhealthy and delicious one night, like, why not? You know, I think it's really just kind of establishing that routine like anything else. And once you have the habit, it's a lot easier to keep that and, you know, supplement what you really like mm-hmm. every once in a while.
Well, and habits start young. You got to start your kids now. We were just actually talking about this morning. If you feed your kids all the processed sugars, pops, all of that, soda, sorry, I'm from down south, they're going to train themselves to eat that way when they're older. You know, I had fresh vegetables. My mom cooked every night. Dinner was a time that the family gathered together. And so that's really, for me, where I like to eat. And so start your kids young. Start your kids young and train them to eat healthy and balanced meals.
And I'm going to say that's tough because a lot of parents don't eat healthy.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's, again, what Tim said. I have to recognize that if I do this for myself, it's best for me. But what also you do for yourself, you should do for your family. So you're right. If you're not eating healthy, and when you get home at the end of the day and it's dark at 4, you don't necessarily want to make a huge dinner. But if you can take Sunday or a day over the weekend to meal prep, or get ideas, or maybe even do, like, I know we've talked about, like, kind of in our little community where I live, neighborhood, of doing just community meals and making meals. Everybody's responsible for a night, and we kind of do this meal trade. It's never worked out, but it's a great idea. It's a really great idea.
What are – say someone grew up with poor eating habits. What are maybe little changes that one can make to work toward better eating habits?
You know, I it's funny because I just listened to a podcast about mindset and eating when I was traveling back from down south. And one of the things she said, which really stuck with me, was do it one thing at a time. You don't have to conquer. I always tell my clients, you don't have to eat the entire pie. Let's start with one piece at a time. Right. So once you do small changes, it'll be bigger things. So just look at, what am I drinking? Am I drinking juice? Am I drinking soda? And can I water the juice down and start there? Or can I drink less of this and start there? So don't start with, I'm going to change my entire diet in one day. Start with changing one little thing, like Tim said, changing one little routine, and then it'll become a habit. And so then you'll go for the water instead of the grape juice. Because I think people think, like, little, like, I'm going to give my kid a Capri Sun. I grew up on Capri Suns. My mom used to love to throw those in our lunch. They're full of sugar. And you don't really realize that because you think it's healthy because it's juice. So really it's the education piece. So just start educating yourself on what you're putting in your body and maybe changing from canned fruit to frozen – or canned vegetables to frozen vegetables, and then from frozen to fresh. So start making small changes there would be my advice. What do you think, Tim?
Yeah, I think that's – you nailed it. I think it's really important to gradually change eating habits, because going from eating processed, you know, fast food, junk food, and be like, all right, I'm just going to eat vegetables now. That's it doesn't work, because it's like too completely. I mean, just your mind and your body are accustomed to the big flavors of, you know, salty, fatty, sweet things, and suddenly changing that, I think, is just really hard. It's like, yeah, a piece of broccoli tastes horrible when you've been, you know, eating McDonald's or whatever frequently. So I think it's really, or just
high
transitioning,
sugar,
transitioning right. from drinking, you know, pop every day to drinking water more frequently. You don't really just go from one side to the other. You kind of have to be like, all right, well, you know, tonight I'm gonna have a glass of water with dinner.
Right.
Like, I think there's just little simple things like that to kind of slowly work your way over.
It's the same if you think about quitting drinking or quitting smoking, that you don't just quit drinking because it's going to shock your body. So you're going to cut back, or you're going to replace it with something else. And so there are other healthy substitutes, like Tim said. You know, we were early, so I was like, let's run to the post office. And we just ran through McDonald's and got an unsweetened iced tea because that's the cheapest place you can get an unsweetened iced tea in town. And they gave me a sweetened tea. And I was shocked. I drank it, and I was like, Tim, do you drink sweet tea? My system was shocked because I only have one sweet tea a week or one unsweetened iced tea a week, and they gave me a sweet tea. I mean, so you're going to start realizing when you make those changes and you start to revert back to what you used to do, your body will be like, whoa, nope, uh-uh, not happening.
Okay, I should point out we have about 10 minutes left in the show, so if anyone has comments or questions, give us a call at 225-9655. Or 1-800-557-5723. So we're speaking a bit about diet and how that can help you deal with seasonal affective disorder. Also talking a lot about proper sleep. So let's talk about sleep a little bit more again. Do you strive for a particular number of hours? I know you have your light clock, so to speak, or things to help you kind of regulate your sleep. I guess explain your sleep routine and how you keep it consistent.
Yeah, I think something that even just kind of, I mean, just starting with the light therapy, that really helps regulate my sleep. It's really funny. Before I was using that in October here and early November, I'd find myself wanting to go to sleep at about 8:30. You know, it's dark by 4. I'm tired. I'm drowsy. I'm irritable. I want to go to sleep to get away from it all, and because I'm just exhausted. Once I started kind of taking my D supplements and using the light therapy box and initiating that kind of early morning wake up with the sunrise clock, I found myself naturally having a lot more energy and really being able to kind of stride my energy till after 10:30 at night. So I think for me, I don't know, maybe I'm just lucky and I kind of find myself being able to naturally regulate my sleep. But again, things that I will do, of course, getting to bed early and waking up early, that's really important. Mm-hmm. Even if I have nothing to do during the day, I will still make sure I'm up by 7:30.
Right.
That's incredibly important to me for maintaining that sleep cycle. If I sleep till 9, I am going to be up till 1 or 2 a.m. and then just kind of falling back into that cycle. So I think it's important to kind of like set a specific routine with sleep. And of course, I don't know, just maintaining that, making sure you have a good reason to get up early and something to do in the morning. And I think with the light therapy and kind of just being a lot more motivated now that I'm not suffering so much from seasonal affective disorder, it's really nice to write down at night a list of some things that I need to do the next day, even if they're really simple things. Even if it's really simple things like, you know, call my grandma at 2:00. Really simple things on a list right next to my bed. I write that stuff down. That way it's not in my head. That way I'm not turning about it. If I do think of something when I'm laying in bed, I can write it down and then it's kind of out. So I think for me, helping wind down, having a certain wind down routine is incredibly helpful.
You talked about the light therapy. How does that work? Is it this machine that shoots light in your house and makes it bright and daylight, or how does that work?
Yeah, it sounds kind of mystical. You know, I'm a bit of a skeptic with a lot of things, with like a lot of alternative medicine, and this isn't something. This is actually something that is legitimate, you know, therapeutic treatment for seasonal affective disorder. But it does seem kind of magical. You stare into this light box. Essentially, it's a tabletop angled light box with 10,000 lumens, so extremely bright. Set it on the table 12 to 18 inches away from the face. Basically, turn it on. It has a timer, so you can time it anywhere from 15 minutes to an hour. I take it for about 30 minutes, which I think is what's usually recommended, but I would ask, you know, your doctor or whoever about that.
Don't ask Dr. Tim.
Yeah. So basically, I set this on the table. It bathes your face in the light. You're not supposed to look directly into the light because it can cause eye strain. So basically, I set up my breakfast. I have my newspaper. I have my phone, and I just kind of hang out there for 30 minutes, you know, drink some coffee and kind of just bathe my face in the light. Shuts off automatically, and then my mood is kind of good from there on. And it's really amazing the difference that it makes. Before I was using it, I felt my mood kind of swing up and down throughout the day. Found myself in some pretty bad moods, just really not stable moods. With using this, I've never felt my mood be more stable in my life. And I'm not saying it works for everybody. I'm not saying it's a cure-all. But for someone like me who has suffered this, affliction here, Just 30 minutes of that light box on the table in the morning just does wonders with mood, with energy, with regulating my sleep cycle. I might try using it a little more in the summertime on those gloomy days. It's been so helpful.
One other thing Tim has, I think, changed too is he keeps saying routine. And we tend to say we need to be like laissez-faire and just like free. And, you know, there's that whole thought process of I don't want to be tied down to a 9-to-5. I don't want to have this routine.
That's me.
That is Tim. But, it's really important. If you don't want to be tied down to a 9-to-5, you want to have kind of this freedom in your life, you need to set routines somewhere, whether it's in the morning and in the evening, because it is such a huge thing for you and your health. And so what he's doing is he's setting two intentional times in his day where he's doing some self-care. And that's another piece. I don't even think we've talked about that yet. That is so important in regards to your mental health, not just with seasonal affective disorder in general. And a lot of my clients that come and see me, I say, okay, what's your AM routine? What's your PM routine? Well, I don't have one. Oh, that's where we got to start. We got to start at self-care, because that's going to impact you so greatly when you start taking care of you. And that's what Tim started to do, it sounds like.
Yeah, it's kind of funny you mention that, because I feel like I didn't consciously do that. Like, I didn't really just sit down and be like, all right, this is going to be my PM routine, this is going to be my AM routine. I kind of knew I needed to make some sort of change. And kind of thinking about what I can do, it just sort of evolved that way, I guess. I don't know. I can't quite explain it. I'm not really the kind of person that just like sits down and plans things out. I think kind of, you know, like I said earlier, seeing the light, so to say, really kind of made me just realize like, oh yeah, this is going to be my morning routine now in the winter. This is what it's all about.
Well, and it's a spiritual practice, and that's not just like religious. Spiritual practices, I'm doing something every day intentionally with a goal in mind. And his goal in mind is I want to have a better mood. I want to feel more energized. And so really you wouldn't be a good soccer player or a good basketball player if you didn't practice. I can think of probably anybody on the K-High Kings team that, you know, would tell you we practice 5 days a week and we have our games on the weekends. And that's what you have to do. He practices 7 days a week, his routine, and it impacts him all day.
And you were talking, Brittany Pope, about self-care, mm-hmm. and whether you have seasonal affective disorder or are just
a human being,
yeah, have a day life, that self-care is important. And what are maybe some things to think about?
Yeah, you know, a lot of what Tim's saying, I'm over here like, you can't see me. I'm like shaking my head and I'm smiling internally because I work with people on this stuff all the time, and he's just identified the change and made it. And so it's great to see that. But some self-care tips, mindfulness, being present, because a lot of the times if we don't give attention to our emotion, which is being present, right, that emotion is going to take us and we're going to be on a roller coaster ride. So think about like when you're anxious, all you can think about is being anxious, but yet there's something going on right in front of you, like your work, but it's distracting you from your work. So taking time to be present with the emotion and being mindful and doing some mindfulness activities. It can be yoga. It can be breathing. I always tell people to start with breathing first. When you were born, what did you learn to do first? Breathe. So that's what you should do. When you are feeling stressed and anxious or whatever's going on, breathe through that emotion. Give attention to that because it's trying to communicate something to you. That can be self-care, just that simple. Also, doing what you love. You know, I tell clients to make a list of 5 things they're passionate about and then do more of that. And so for Tim, it sounds like it's being more active. So it's getting yourself outside on those days where it's nice. It's making yourself go, you know, fishing, take the boat out, go do something that you enjoy, do more of that. And then also physical activity. I mean, doing something physical, whether it's something so simple as chair stretches in your office, you know, your coworkers might walk by and think you're crazy, but your day is going to be better because you did your routine that worked for you. So you have to find this perfect self-care routine that works for you. And mine is I just give myself a timeout with my emotions. I put myself in timeout, you know, in my 30s because I know that I need to focus on whatever is going on. So in between sessions with clients, if that session really impacted me, I give myself a few minutes with my emotions. And that's my self-care throughout the day because I take on a lot of other people's emotions and I know that about myself. So it's recognizing where self-care needs to be in your routine and what little change can make a big impact.
Okay, we just have a minute or two left. Is there anything else that you wanted to discuss?
I don't know. I thought this was really helpful. I hope it was for you guys. No, just that, you know, we have the Ketchikan Wellness Coalition. I know they sponsor this. They're a resource. You know, we're creating a resource guide. We have Romanda and Reed and Gretchen who are very helpful. And so even if you don't want to reach out to a mental health therapist and it's kind of that stigma of going to therapy. I mean, you know, before becoming a therapist, that stigma was there for me. Reach out to a friend, reach out to Ketchikan Wellness Coalition, reach out to Tim. You know, reach out to someone in your community that can help support you so that you aren't alone in dealing with this, because it takes a village, they say, to raise a kid, but it also takes a village to support someone. It takes a friend. It takes a community. So just make sure you're reaching out when you are feeling like either you have seasonal affective disorder, if you've lost someone, just reach out to someone.
As I say, there are a lot of resources in this community, and you can certainly... there are many, many support groups. There's all sorts of things out there, but you can always start with wherever you feel comfortable. You mentioned the Wellness Coalition. Even if they can't help you, they do have information about other resources throughout the community
right.
as well.
This is a wonderful community full of caring people, and I think recognizing that you may need help is the hardest part. So that's why I tell people, go to your friend first. They can't be your therapist, but they can guide you in the right direction, hopefully.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you both for being here.
Thank you.
Lots of good information. Hope that helped some folks out there. Brittany Pope, she is a licensed professional counselor. She's also on the Ketchikan Wellness Coalition board. And Tim Kistner.